Lord of all, love eternal, unconditional, laying down your life, you gave it all for me. Faithful is your name, Holy One, great in all your ways, your kingdom come, laying down your life, you gave it all for me.
Let's declare this together.
Your love is never changed.
Jesus, I belong to you.
chain is loose. God, we declare your kingdom is here. Everyone will see, fall down at your feet. 'Cause God, we declare your kingdom. Oh, come on, say it again.
Mountains have to move.
What a mighty, mighty, awesome God. And when His presence is in your place, everything begins to change. So if you need the presence of God, I want you to just worship Him right now. Sing like this. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here, and the evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord. Come on, church, He's here. Let's sing it again. The atmosphere, believe it. The atmosphere is changing now, 'cause the Spirit of the Lord is here.
The Spirit of the Lord is here.
Just look around, it's here and here.
The Spirit of the Lord is here.
Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Him tonight, we've come for you tonight. Oh. Well, the atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all, it's all. Spirit of the Lord.
Oh,
come on, sing that again. The atmosphere. Hey. The atmosphere is changing now. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord.
That the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. That the Spirit of the Lord. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us.
You're the reason, Lord.
You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds.
Oh, we sing it again. Overflow.
Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love.
Your kingdom come, Your will be done here as in heaven. Oh yes, Spirit,
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. We need Your presence.
Oh, we need Your presence, oh God. Yeah. Your kingdom.
Heavenly Father, we invite You here tonight. God, there is nothing impossible when You meet faith. We thank You that You respond to faith. We're glad, Lord, that it's not our education, it's not our vocabulary, it's not our status financially, status educationally, status amongst our community, but we thank You tonight that we've come with what we need. We've come with faith. Hallelujah. And we're glad that faith pleases You, Father. Faith, God, is what we need tonight. I pray that You'll infuse greater faith into our spirit. God, it doesn't land in our mind. It doesn't land in our feelings. But God, that faith that You have for us, mountain-moving faith, lands in our spirit tonight. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So we welcome You, Holy Spirit, as the most honored guest in this house, online. Those who watch later, may Your presence be felt and evident. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. 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 Thank you, choir. Let them know you appreciate the choir, if you would, please. Open your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 1 while you're standing, please. The book of Revelation chapter 1. I'm just going to go right into the Word tonight, if you don't mind. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Praise God. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 5 is where we'll be taking a little time tonight. We're going to end with prayer right after the... thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. You're a good man. I feel like the Lord is looking down upon me from His perch on high. The great synthesizer from heaven looks down upon me and smiles and says, "You're a good, good father." Hallelujah. All right, Revelation chapter 1, if you'd go there with me. Is it okay if I just get right to the scripture? We don't mess around on Sunday night. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Somebody shout, the faithful witness. I thought this afternoon, if God is known as the faithful witness, I want to be faithful too. The Bible says, the firstborn from the dead. How many know He's alive tonight? And He's the ruler over the kings of the earth. Nobody, not even the IRS, is greater than the King of Kings. That was weak. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 continues to say, to Him who loved us. Now, I told you this morning that love, now you need to pay attention because I'm going through this quick. Love has a produce. Love produces mercy. How many are glad God could have given you judgment, which we've all deserved, but how many had you got love instead? Love opens the door for mercy. But then the Bible says He washed us from our sins. That is the moment that we invite Jesus Christ to come into our lives. So not only does He love us and give us mercy, but He washes us and gives us heaven. And I want you to know tonight, no matter your past, no matter what has taken place in your past, if you bring it to Jesus Christ, He does not renovate it. He removes the sins of the past. He washes you clean. Amen. How many are glad He does a thorough job on our lives? Amen. He comes to your house, takes the dirty laundry out of the hamper, and Himself by hand washes it and brings you back like it never even happened. All right. And then verse 6. And has made us. What did He first do? He loved us. Secondly, He washed us. And third, He made us kings and priests. Say that with me, kings and priests. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts tonight through your word, which we expect to hear from you in your name. Everyone said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, Heather. Appreciate it. Love gets us what? Come on, folks. It was just a minute ago. Love gets us what? That's right. Good job. Love gets us mercy. The washing gets us what? Heaven. Love gets us mercy. Okay, you want to stand up and do this again? It's not that hard. Okay. Love gets us what? Washing gets us what? That's right. But the victory is not in the love. The victory is not in the washing. The victory is in when we're made. And I'm glad that he loves us, but we've got to move on from there. I'm glad that he's washed us, but if that's the only place you stay, you could go to heaven defeated all the rest of your life. I want to go from being loved to being washed to know that he did both with this in mind so that he can reveal to me that I've been made unto him king and priest. And so that's a recap of this morning. It took longer than that to do it, however. But tonight I want to talk to you about this because here's the issue that I have. There's been a lot of really bad teaching in churches concerning priests and kings. And here's the problem. And it's the preacher's fault, which most everything is. Come on, you folks are already too tight on me already. Y'all okay? Most problems in churches have to do with the preachers. That's the real honest truth. But they want to separate people in the church and say, well, these people are kings and these people are priests. You couldn't have it further from the truth, but it sure is a good way to manipulate people. And it sure is a good way to make people like you and get approval, and because there are people that have those tendencies either way. We want to call the people who work secular jobs kings, and we want to call the people that do church work priests. We want to call the people who labor kings, and we want to call those who pray priests. And we tell the people who work, don't worry about the praying, we'll do that. And the praying people don't say, don't expect us to do anything. The way to chase an intercessor off is to give him a broom. And the way to chase a king off is to give him a prayer manual. No. So let's just boil it down. Let's not get into weird stuff. What does a Christian look like? That's really what John is saying to us, is that Jesus loves us, that he has saved us, so that we can know what a Christian is supposed to look like. And what a Christian is supposed to look like is somebody who has authority and somebody who knows how to maintain an altar. That's exactly what it is. The king gets victory. The king knows how to dominate. The king knows how to rule. The king knows how to protect. The king knows how to conquer. And that's beautiful. But the priest knows how to keep an altar. And if all we do is the work of a king, we lose the ability to keep our authority if we don't know how to maintain an altar. Y'all okay with that? It's interesting, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, listen to these words. Moses says to the people, and you will be, well, God says to the people through Moses, and you will be my kingdom of priests and holy nation. Hear that. A kingdom of priests. Did you hear that? God prophesies through Moses, you will be a kingdom, kings, and you will be priests. John echoes it in Revelation 1 and in Revelation 5. And so I need you to hear this tonight. Moses says that he wants the people of God to become something that is in the natural almost impossible. Okay, are you there? You missed, this isn't a Stephen King movie. You can't tune in the last 3 minutes and you've already got the whole thing figured out. No, we're watching Stephen King. Okay, I'll try the Sunday morning crowd on that joke next time. To be a king, I told you this morning, how many know you've got to be in the right family? Or a queen. There's nothing you do to, you can't run for king. You can run for president, but you can't run for king. You have to be born into it. But it's less than 1% chance that you'll ever be king, because you have to be born to a family that you have no choice of. So to be a king is very selective. To be a priest is very selective. You had to be of a certain tribe in Israel, and you could, and if, unless you were born to that family, you could never be a priest. So what Moses is saying is that I want a people that will be something that they cannot become on their own. That's why it's good news for you to hear this tonight. Because you sit here and say, well, I can't have victory like a king. Or I can't have spiritual sensitivity like a priest. No, you can't. But Jesus Christ can. And the moment you get saved, Jesus does for you what you could never have done by birth. He does by the new birth. Is there anybody here tonight glad that he's done something for you you could never do on your own? By the new birth, you've received access to God. And by the new birth, you have accessed royalty and glorious victory. The problem is, he's already made us that. Then why don't we live like that? Because it's a process of understanding. And I talked to you this morning that God, the Bible says that Hosea 4:6, that people perish because they lack knowledge. And so what God is doing by his Spirit is he's growing us. So let me talk to you briefly for about 15 minutes about the priest. If you look at Leviticus chapter 6, the Lord says to Moses, give Aaron and his sons the following instructions regarding the burnt offering. Number one, if you're going to be a priest, you've got to understand protocol. That was real deep, wasn't it? But we need to hear that. We need protocol. Like there's a way to do things. Come on now. Protocol. Like when it's time to worship, it's time to worship. When it's time to do Bible study, you do Bible study. But you don't Bible study when it's time to worship, and you don't worship when it's time to Bible study. Well, that's the response I expected. Because we're Americans. We want to just do what we want. But no, the Bible plainly states if you're going to get in the flow of the Holy Spirit, you've got to understand there's a way of doing things and there's a protocol. He's a God of order. Okay, so here's the protocol. The burnt offering, number one. The highest offering of all offerings is the burnt offering. Why? Because you take something that you did not make, a living animal, and you offer it to God. You take something living. How many know you don't make goats? You raise goats. You parent goats. You take something living that you didn't make, and you put it on the offering. It's the highest form of offering. The burnt offering must be left on top of the altar until the next morning. And the fire on the altar must be kept burning all night. When it's 40 below, how many of you have been keeping the fire burning and hoping that it burns all night? What an appropriate scripture for this kind of weather right now, right? Verse 11. Then he must take off these garments and change back into his regular clothes and carry the ashes outside to a camp to a place that is ceremonially clean. Verse 12. Meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. Each morning, the priest will add fresh wood to the fire and arrange the burnt offering on it. He will then burn the fat of the peace offerings on it. Verse 13. Remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never go out. How many are getting the point that the fire should always be burning? The protocol is that the priest has got to know how the altar works. So if you want to be able to operate in victory, you got to listen to the message this morning. But if you want to learn to operate in spirit, then you came to the right service. A priest. See, the Old Testament altar is an object or a place. But the New Testament altar is a position, an attitude, and a relationship. The altar in Old Testament times was placed at the doorway of a region. And the God that community worshipped was inscribed on the altar. And so if you and I were going to go and overthrow Atkinson, we would gather intelligence and we would send people to scope out the land of Atkinson, the provisions of Atkinson, the government of Atkinson. But in our intel report, we would also send somebody to check out the altar of Atkinson. And the people of Atkinson would write on that altar the name of the God they worship. This wasn't just altars at like Christian places. You know, I'm being facetious. There were altars. Everybody had altars. Like, there were no atheists in the Old Testament. Right? You had to get the internet to create this many atheists. No, you needed highbrow universities to create as many atheists as we have in the country right now. Atheism is a very new movement. And so back then, everybody had an altar. And if you saw an altar of Baal, you knew how the people thought. Now, I could stop and preach longer than you want to hear on that, because I don't care who you meet, everybody's got an altar. The altar has the name of their God, and whatever the name of their God will tell you what how they make their decisions. So if some people's altar says Mullah on it, that's not a cousin to Allah, that's money. And some people's altar, if God were to give you eyes to see, you would see on their altar is written money. And every decision they make is based on money. They may never go to church, they may never claim faith, but they have a religion. And they have an altar. And if I'm the devil and I want to destroy their life, I'll get involved in their money so that it'll keep them away from God. There are people that go to church. Now I'm preaching. There are people that go to church and they claim Christian, but the name of the God on their altar is money. And if I'm the devil, I'm going to convince you that the church only wants your money, or you don't ever have enough money to give, and I'm going to keep you bound and in poverty and worshiping at the idol of money. I'm preaching. Some people have on the name of their altar the name of entertainment, where they will do for entertainment what they would never do for God. No, don't even begin to be quiet on me, or I'll think you're guilty. Spend $8 on a hot dog, but won't give $4 to missions. Now, that's preaching for online people. It's not for you. It's not for you. Spend $1,000 on a television, but won't give $10 for a soul. Come on, somebody. We'll spend $800 on a cell phone, but we won't give $50 so that we can help to get our marriage better. Now I'm just crossed into the ugly market. Okay. But here's the good news, ladies and gentlemen. If you make Jesus Christ genuinely the Lord of your life, if the enemy comes into your territory and says to his demons, we're going to attack Bill Sutherland's home, and when they walk up to Bill Sutherland's life and they look at the altar, and it doesn't say entertainment, and it doesn't say money, and it doesn't say I want to be notarized and I want to be known, but if it says Jesus Christ, the devil says, wait a minute, boys, we won't have much success at Bill Sutherland's life, because if it was money, we could kill him. If it was fame, we could get him. If it was entertainment, we know how to deal with that. But Jesus, we haven't known how to deal with him for 2,000 years. We better leave Bill Sutherland alone. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel like preaching it tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, the fire on the altar will never go out. If you keep the name of Jesus on your altar, the devil is defeated the moment he thinks about coming to attack you. But if you make religion the name on your altar, he knows how to defeat that. If you live off yesterday's experience, he knows how to get around that. Come on. If it's about getting even, he knows how to use that. But if it's Jesus, he doesn't know what to do with Jesus. He killed him and he still came back. Hallelujah. There's nothing you can't do without the Lord on your life. Tonight, if you've got another name on your altar, I suggest you wipe that thing out and make a fresh commitment to say, I give Jesus Christ the lordship of my life. I don't care if every other parent's ungodly. You won't. I don't care if everybody else compromises their standard of living. You won't, because you're living genuinely by another altar. That wasn't a bad point. I thought it was pretty good. Secondly, the priest knows that as long as there's some sacrifice on the altar, the fire will always fall. I have no fear about what God will do in this church this year. I don't have any fear about what God will do in my family's life this year. I don't have any fear about what God will do in my marriage this year. Unless I forget our anniversary. I have no fear of what God, what would happen in my children this year. I have no concern about what God will do in my money this year. Why? Because I've put my marriage, my children, my life, and this church on the altar. And as long as I leave it on the altar, God says, I'll catch fire. Hallelujah. I'll put something on it. The problem is, there's a lot of people who are busy around empty altars. They're too intelligent to sacrifice anything on the altar, because we think presence is sacrifice. Well, I came to church Sunday. God's not looking for your presence. He's looking for your will. See, this is like a half really bless me message and a half kick me in the teeth message. And you don't know whether to say amen or get mad. Just say amen. It's a lot better. It looks better on you. A lot of people want to give God their Sunday night, but they don't want to give Him their life. But anything that you put on the altar, God says, I can bless it. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to put everything on the altar except my relationships. If your relationships can't go to the altar, then don't expect God to bless them. I'm all about, this is kind of getting nitpicky, but I'm in the mood. I'm all about marriages and weddings happening, and it's fun. They do them in different places. You know, they do them in barns. They do them in bars. I thought that was funny. They do it in prisons. They do them on bridges. They do them on the coast. They do them in banquet halls. They do weddings near wood piles. They do them on hay bales. I mean, there's nowhere now you can't, baseball fields, locker rooms, boats, islands, skydiving. I mean, which is apropos. So I find it interesting, and I'm fine with that. I've done weddings I did a wedding at the prison one time. We couldn't finish the ceremony because the bride went into labor. Funnier than that, the groom was late. He overslept. That was fun. But what's odd, I'm not questioning everybody's intention. But I'm wondering how many people are wanting to get married outside of the church, not near the altar. Because they have no intention of giving their marriage to God, but they still want God to bless it. Because to get married at the altar, as it should be, is we say we're going to do marriage God's way. But if I can get married where there is no altar, I can still say it's my way, I just want you to bless it. But God says if it's not on the altar, I'm not responsible. Again, please don't misquote me. If you do, I could care less. To be quite honest with you, you're just looking for a problem. But I'm not saying you can't get married outside the church, but there ought to be what I'm saying is the heart condition is, whatever I'm going to do, it's on the altar. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend, it ought to be an altar relationship. Your money ought to be an altar relationship. Your work should be an altar relationship. Your private life should be an altar relationship. And if you keep it on the altar, God says, I've got something I can bless. So that's why in 2018, you need not fear at all whether God will bless you. All you got to do is keep it on the altar. The Bible says that they're to take that. I'm almost done. The Bible says, what does that mean? No, we're not sure. The Bible says that they're to keep the fire burning all night long. That means before you go to bed, you got to put a little bit more on the fire than you think you need. We have a pellet stove in our house, and I would be smart before I go to bed tonight to make sure there's more pellets than I think we need, or we're going to wake up to a cold house. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't need a fire only when things are going bad, but when things are going good, I want to have more than enough. I don't want just enough tonight to get me through to next Sunday night. I want to get more tonight so that I'm overflowing with the power and the love and the faith that God has. Come on, I'm tired of living on barely enough. The Bible says, and my cup runs over. The priest is to not only manage the altar, to keep something on the altar, to keep the fire burning, but he's to rearrange the wood for the sacrifice. That means alignment. That means get things prepared and keep the fire burning when nobody's looking. Now, I don't want to be, chauvinist. Does that mean like men are better than women? Chauvinist. Alex, for 400. What is a chauvinist? But how many of you would agree, typically the oven belongs to the woman and the grill belongs to the man? Oh, everybody's like, oh, phew, I thought that was going to get... Typically. Now, I'm not saying all the time, and maybe you're a progressive woman, you can run a grill. God bless you. And maybe you're a man, you can run an oven. Don't tell anybody. But typically, the man runs the grill. And a man who knows how to run a charcoal grill knows this. When you first start a fire, that's when the flame's the highest. Right? You get those, those charcoals. And I had David Beck gave me a smoker, a homemade smoker, and I would use mesquite wood in it. And so I would soak paper towels with lighter fluid, and then I would put the wood on it, pine wood, and then I'd light it. Man, I felt so good about that. I didn't have any eyebrows, but I still felt so good about it. But I had to learn that the most intense heat does not come from the highest fire. Right? So some of you old timers, some of you know charcoal. I got to explain this to the youngins. Charcoal is that black stuff. You pour it in, and you pour some lighter fluid and more and more and more. And the fire's high, and that's entertaining. But the real heat does not come from the high fire. It comes from that white, ash, hot, right? Come on, that's where the heat is. That's not glamorous. That's not fun. Honey, come over here and let's watch the white ashes. Have a cup of coffee, just a cup of coffee, and chill. And nobody sits around. Let's sit around. Let's sit around the charcoal place. That's not entertaining. But I'm going to tell you, don't cook the burgers until you get that charcoal white hot. But when it's white hot, you can get something done. What I'm trying to say is a whole lot of people want fire on Sunday night when the crowd is here. But you're really better. The best fire is when nobody's looking, when nobody sees you in the prayer room, when nobody sees you alone, and you say, oh, God, I need you. When you push the plate aside on a 21-day fast and say, nobody's recognizing that I'm not eating this food or that kind of food or this meal. But if you'll do it, the most intense fire doesn't come on Sunday. It comes on Tuesday. But if you can get your fire on Tuesday, the fire will really burn hot on Sunday. We need some private fires. Private fires are more powerful than public fires. I want to encourage you in these 21 days to join us on this fast. You need to go to the Facebook page when you get home tonight. All the information is there. All the information is there. We could have printed off cards, but we're a little tired of throwing some away. So let's do that for free. Text. Let Jamie work this thing so that you can get a text on the verse that we're reading of John, the chapter that we're reading, and a daily encouragement. Go onto the website and sign up for the e-newsletter. Jamie will make sure that you get... Look, we make it. It's ridiculous how easy we make it. She will email you the chapter to read. You just open your email and there it is. Like, you're never going to get away from us. Hallelujah. You will never get away from us hounding you. You'll have to leave, and then we'll still follow you. Every day at 12:30, Monday through Friday, one of the staff members, hopefully live, if they've got the courage to do it, will get on and talk to you about 5 to 8 minutes about that chapter that we read that day, what's inspiring them. It'll inspire you and pray for you. Saturday, Sunday at 8 a.m., both services, both days, another staff member will talk about those things. on that is the documentation on what a fast looks, on what fasts are. There's a complete fast where you just drink liquid all day. Then there is the partial fast. I mean, the partial fast as far as removing certain things out of your diet. Most popular would be a Daniel fast, which Daniel says were meats and sweets. Everybody else wants to complicate it, but Daniel said, I just didn't eat any meats or sweets and peas. No, it's in the Hebrew. And then there's the partial fast as far as fasting breakfast and lunch. And maybe you want to fast a dinner. And maybe you can't fast 21 days, maybe 3 days. I don't care what you do. But pray every day, read every day, and whatever meals you want to fast, fast them. Fast them. Do a Daniel fast 3 days. And if you die, call me. And if you don't, keep going. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. When you get a private... I'm something in this. I'm trying to keep your attention. When you get a private prayer life going, when you get a private fire going, when you start getting blessed and the tears roll and the joy whelms and the compassion grows and your faith explodes and nobody's there to see it, I'm going to tell you something. That will carry you through the hard times. That will get you through when nothing else will. That's the power. That's the fire. Praise God. I'm enjoying this. Is there anything else? That's not a bad point, but I don't have time. That's a good one. That's the best thing I've ever read, but I don't have time. Two more things. At the altar, oftentimes throughout the scripture, I haven't got time to preach it. Come on, musicians, if you would. At the altar is where God reveals himself to you in ways you've never seen him. You know what's interesting? As soon as man sinned, God raised up a prophet named Abel to build an altar. If you read in the book of Luke, chapter 11, the Bible, Jesus called Abel a prophet. Jesus called Abel a prophet in Luke, chapter 11. His blood was shed and speaks to us today. God is constantly trying to get people to build altars. Churches want to build entertainment. God wants us to build altars. You can pray till the cows come home, but eventually you got to do something about it. But if all you're doing is doing, but you're never praying, you're going to live frustrated. Okay, so here's, because there's so many, you hear people say, well, there were no altars in the New Testament. It just proves that people don't understand the concept of the altar. You know, the altar was found at Calvary when Jesus was hung. Was suspended on that cross, which the Roman soldiers didn't even realize that they were being prophetic when they nailed his hands and his feet, because in the Old Testament they said put meat hooks in all of the appendages of the animal so that when it dies and convulses, it won't shake off the altar. And Jesus, like that lamb with the meat hooks in its arms and in his feet, was on that cross altar. And there the perfect Lamb of God was sacrificed. But he wouldn't die. He wouldn't die from bleeding. He wouldn't die from suffocation. And so a Roman soldier went up and put a sword up in his side, and water and blood flowed out. Oh, he was the drink offering. There are altars in the New Testament. How about the highest altar? Offering of burnt offering. On the day of Pentecost, in an upper room, there were 120 people. People, they were living beings that were in the upper room. And as they began to seek God and praise God willingly, voluntarily, the Bible says that God found a sacrifice on the altar. And on the day of Pentecost, God poured his fire out, the fire of the Holy Ghost, down on the offering. And today that fire still hasn't gone out amongst his people who know how to tend an altar. Is there anybody here tonight that wants to put yourself on that altar and say, Lord, let the fire never go out on this sacrifice? Would you lift your hand and say, that's me. I want this in my life. Everybody that wants to be a priest for God, stand together with me tonight. Stand together with me tonight. Give me some living music, if you would. Praise God. Something up. Something up. Let's lift our hands and begin to thank God right now for this beautiful sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Would you? Begin to thank God that we get to offer ourselves a sacrifice unto the Lord right now. God, I give myself to you. I give everything to you. I submit myself to you. I give my relationships to you. I give my finances to you. I give my work to you. I give my service to you. I give everything. Come on, is there anybody a living sacrifice today? Is there anybody a living sacrifice? God, I give you everything I am. I surrender everything to you right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, come on. Jesus, here I am. Jesus, take my life. God, I don't want this to be a year where there's no fire. I don't want this to be a year where there's just cold religion. I don't want this to be a year where it's just my efforts and none of yours. I don't want this to be a year where I'm just going through the motions and I'm just doing my own thing. I want you to have something to put a touch of God on. I want something in my life to be miraculous. I want there to be regions in my life that it is obvious there's a living God involved in my life and in every area of it. And to God be the glory. Begin to rejoice now then, saints. Come on, begin to rejoice now then. The Bible says whatever you give to him for fire, that it will burn in the name of Jesus. Board members, come help me if you would, please. Come, board members, if you would. The Lord spoke to me this week, says there's a bunch of people that want God to answer prayer like kings, but it starts at the altar. It starts at the altar. It starts at the altar of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we surrender and yield to you tonight. God, we put ourselves at your feet today. And everything the enemy has attempted to do in any life in this place tonight, we hide ourselves behind that great altar in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for every home to be strong. I pray for every life to be well. I pray for every mind to have peace. I pray for every ministry to have an anointing. I pray for every life to have a witness. I pray for every person to have victory. I pray that there be no room for anything that the enemy would like to do in our lives, but we have victory and victory only in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If this is a year for victory for you, I think you should open your mouth and begin to thank God. Just begin to open your mouth and begin to thank God. This is my year of victory. This is my year of breakthrough. This is my year of freedom. This is my year of direction. This is my year of no confusion. This is my year of peace. I will do what God has called me to do, and there's nothing that the enemy can do about it. Come on. I will not just settle in any area of my life. Victory in every area. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just a minute. Let the glory of God fill this place. Just let the presence of the Lord come and touch. Aren't you tired of going through the motions? Aren't you doing it because you have to? Why don't you get to the place that you just get the unction of the Holy Spirit? Because if you try to do it in prayerless living, prayerless Christianity is a misnomer to God. Only thing God knows is a praying believer. Come on, saints, then begin to pray. Just begin to say, Lord, I give you everything. I'll make a commitment for 21 days. I will not pull away. I will pull myself close in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Sing something. Sing something.
Show us your glory. Show us your power.
Show us your glory.
Show us
All right, folks, you know what to do. Come right on this way. Those of you who come this way, you know how to do this. Go ahead.
Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing, flowing from your heart.
We cry worthy.
That cracker represents the body of Christ. It represents His broken body. The Bible tells us that He was born of a virgin, but with a mortal body that bled, body that would feel pain. And the Bible says on that old body, every one of Matt Ward's sins that he ever committed was attached to that body. And that body was buried and stayed in the ground. But God gave to him a new body. That new body come up out of the ground. And as long as that old dead body's in the ground, so are Matt Ward's sins. I say my name, but how many know I could say every one of your names as well if you've accepted Jesus Christ, that He has buried your past. And I feel like bearing down on that a little bit for somebody that's here tonight to tell you, stop letting your past hinder your God's plan for your future. This bread represents to you the fact that God buried it and it will never be brought up ever again. I'm not saying you have to, but if you ever do sin again, He's already made provision for it. And in light of that, knowing that, any sin that He already knew that you may commit in the future, God in this moment gives you power to overcome that sin in the future now knowing it. In other words, you can change the future. Half of you will enjoy that. Not because you don't want it, but you have to receive that by the Spirit. In other words, the sin that He knew you'd commit in the future, He's already given you power to overcome it. You know, you hear this weak preaching producing weak believers. Well, you know, if you ever sin in the future, God's already taken care of it. Any sin that I would have made in the future, the more aware I am of His sacrifice today gives me power over every sin, and I can change the future. I don't plan on sinning ever again. I hope I don't. Is my flesh capable? Of course, but if I'm on the altar, I won't. So take that bread and take it and give thanks to God that your sin is buried and never to rise again. Would you help me thank Him? Would you please? Thank you, Lord, for victory over the past and victory over sin. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you take that cup, it represents the blood of Jesus. Gives us access to all that heaven has for us. It's the new covenant. This morning, there was about 7 people that lifted their hands to be saved today. It was a beautiful, beautiful altar service. What a great way to start the year. The best way. So much better than last year. Last year we had the emergency team and the hazmat. Such a better way to start the year. And this night's not over, but it looks pretty good that there'll be no 911. We do have a police officer in the second row, but not for a problem. Hallelujah. Already started on the upper end. If you weren't here last year, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But. So there's a girl over here, and I won't say her name, but she's 15 years old. When she was 2 years old, her mom gave her up to her adoptive mother. And 1 year ago, the adoptive mother had to, for whatever, release her, and the 14-year-old girl went into the foster care system. I don't know about you, but that's pretty tough right there. 14 years old going into the foster care system. That little girl just was here last Sunday. This week moved in with one of the families that come to our church. And today gave her life to Jesus Christ. And heard preached today that you don't deserve this relationship. You're born into it. You don't get it. Some of you just been in church way too long. It's not been good for you. Some of you just, nothing would touch you. You're just sitting here waiting. You just can't wait to look at your cell phone again. But that little girl, when somebody stands up and says, "You, all you have to do is be born into the kingdom," that put a whole spin on my afternoon. I began to think of it. I talked to my wife, and we just sat in the office and just, you know, broke up about it. What a beautiful picture. The little girl in the natural had been given up. But the supernatural Father never gives up on His kids. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, you sit here and you all look nice, but you were just as spiritually orphaned as that girl was in the natural. But today I tell you, we receive the spirit of adoption, and the Father hath adopted us into His family, and He'll never turn His back on His children. Our earthly fathers do the best they can, but our heavenly Father, He's perfect in every way. And if I ask Him for the Holy Spirit, He will give me the Holy Spirit tonight. Hallelujah. I think somebody ought to give an Abba Father praise to the Lord. He didn't have to save you. You didn't earn your salvation. But somebody thank God. When you're a million miles from Him, He whacked a million and one and picked you up and said, "I'll take you into my family." There must be 300 people here. I think I could hear a mouse walk across the altar. Open your mouth and begin to praise God. The Bible says, "Shout with shouts of victory unto the Lord." Hallelujah. I'm not going to take for granted that the Father found me. You can sit there and be stiff about it, but as for me, I'll rejoice. Hallelujah. I was sinking, but He went down and found me. Come on, one more time. Lift up your voice. In 2018, say, "I thank God I've been adopted. I'm a child of the King." Take that cup, if you would, that represents the blood, which represents a covenant of adoption, and drink it all, if you would. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray healing for every person in this room tonight. I pray for deliverance for every person in this room tonight. I pray for peace for every person in this room tonight. And we declare it today in the name of Jesus, by the shed blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ. Let the glory of God fall in this place, I pray. Let that mighty moving power of the Holy Ghost fill us one more time. Baptize us in the Holy Ghost. Baptize in supernatural power. Baptize us in the power to bind the devil and to loose the blessings in the name of Jesus. Come on, saints, get some victory for 2018. Get what God has for you.
Heavenly places, just like heaven. Oh, heaven on earth to be walking in His favor and grace, just as like heaven. Yeah. Ooh. Heaven on earth. Whoa. The Lord is upon me, His anointing, it's empowering. The kingdom of the Lord is within me, and He's calling me to the heavenly, yeah. To be seated in heavenly places, just like heaven, just
like heaven. Come on, let God this place tonight. Let God shake the dust and let His glory rise up among you. Hallelujah. Why don't you get so full of God that no doubt can remain? Get so full of God that only faith will rise. Get so full of God you don't see the channel, but you see the eye. Come on.
Walking in His favor and grace, just like heaven. Marching in the spirit of unity to this community, show His ability. The will of the Lord for His children is to demonstrate.
I believe that for you. Come on, signs and wonders in 2018. Miracle working power in this place like never before.
Seated in heavenly places, just like heaven.
Something that will shake the state of Maine. Something that will shake the Northeast.
sees glory. Feels like heaven on earth.
Come on now, come on.
Something's moving. Something's changing. Sees glory. Feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving. Something's changing. Sees glory. Feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving. Something's changing. Sees glory. Miracles and wonders, sound of many waters, heaven on earth. There is lightning and thunder, miracles and wonders. Oh, the sound of many waters. Oh, heaven, heaven on earth. Oh,
everything from a new point of view, to be seated with Jesus in heavenly places, cause from his perspective everything is made new. There is a lightning and thunder, miracles and wonder, sound of many waters, heaven on earth. There is a lightning and thunder, miracles, miracles and wonder.
That fire represents God. That fire represents God, and everything the fire touches is different after it's been touched. In the natural, anything that's been burnt is forever changed, and it's never the same. And when the fire of God, which is just an image of God, any area he touches of your life, I'm telling you, it is never, ever the same. The Bible doesn't say church services will change you. The Bible doesn't say religion will change you. The Bible doesn't say resurrecting past experiences will change you. It says the fire of the Holy Ghost will change you. Hallelujah. And I don't mean in four, and I don't mean in four sessions. Romans chapter 5 verse 17. If the defeat of Adam touched an entire race, how much more the victory of Jesus? I've been chewing on that this afternoon. That means one touch of the enemy can hurt you, but one touch of God can do double what the enemy tried to do. For every one the devil does, God does too. Do you hear what I'm saying? For every one the devil does, God does too. I don't know about you, but I don't want one area of my life that the power and the touch of God cannot affect. I want every person that says, I want the fire of God on every area of my life to come and stand in this altar with me right now. Just come. You folks that are here, you stand where